That was excellent choice of hymns, John. I didn't realize.
I asked John to pick
the hymns, except 268. I knew we'd have to sing that. But he picked the hymns, an excellent choice of worship the King. I love that hymn. And then this one, I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, be closer drawn to thee. And it went on to say, consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. I don't want to forget this, because the Lord has promised the people power. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you in power. Now this is power. It takes the power of God to consecrate us, to give us to Him and give ourselves to Him. It says, let my soul look up with a steadfast hope. That takes the power of God. And my will be lost in thine. That takes the power of God. And goes on to talk about communing with thee as friend with friend. That goes so well with this message. And you heard what she's played on the piano. Martin Luther's great hymn. Oh, man. Great. Good choice. I told Jeanette, I told John, we could just sit here and listen to her play that hymn all day. Prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can't endure. His doom is sure. One little word is going to fail him. Wonderful, wonderful. I have worshipped already. I'm grateful. Acts chapter 1, the former treatise, Luke said, I made, O Theophilus. Who is Theophilus? We don't know, and it doesn't, so it doesn't matter, does it? His name means friend of God. So this is written to all the friends of God. To make known what? All that our Lord began to do and teach till the day he was taken up. We're going to see that four times. Taken up, taken up, taken up. Until after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, gave commandment unto his apostles whom he had chosen. See, this is to his people. This is to his chosen one. This is to believers. Believers. Go back to Luke chapter 1, which Luke also wrote. He's not the author of it, but he wrote down what the Lord told him to write. What did Luke write? Well, what did Matthew write? What did Mark write? What did John write? What did all the prophets write and the apostles write about him? It's a hymn book. Hymn book about Christ. Okay, Luke 1, I love this. He says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth an order, the many apostles, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. What things, Luke? Of all that our Lord did and said. It's all about Him. Things most surely believed. Things of God, the things of Christ, the things of salvation. In verse 2, he says, they delivered them unto us, which were from the beginning eyewitnesses, ministers of the word, eyewitnesses. Peter said that, didn't he? See, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He said, we heard a voice from heaven say, thou art my beloved son. But Peter went on to say, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well to take heed. And that's the word of God. Because holy men spake as they're not, they spake as they are moved of God. No scriptures of any man's doing. So all of this was of Christ. In verse 3, he said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the first. I believe Luke was probably one of those 70 sent out. His name is not given there, but I think he was, because it says he was there from the beginning. Someone said that they thought Paul told Luke what to write the whole book of Luke. That'd be fine. Or Acts. So He said, I have perfect understanding. I was there from the first to write in order, most excellent friend of God, that thou mightest know these things are written, that you might know that these things are certain. The certainty of those things. Are you sure? You sure about this? Oh, not as sure as I'm standing here, as sure as he's standing there. That's what this whole, go back to Acts, this whole chapter is dealing with, this whole book, talking about a living Lord. Okay? A living Lord. God's called that, the living God. And he's not a concept, not a doctrine, not a theory, not a belief, he's a person. A sovereign person, God is, though he's a spirit. But Jesus Christ is a man. There's a man in glory, a real man who lived on this earth, who died. And here's the whole key. He rose again, proving who he is. And he went back, he was taken up and went back and sat on the right hand of God, Scripture said, the right hand of the Majesty on high. And that's where he is right now, reigning and ruling over, Barnard said, everything that writhes or wriggles down to the hairs on your head. The world said, I don't believe that. I do. Do you? How can you be sure? This is certain. Certain he lives. You see, he revealed these things to his disciples. He revealed himself to his disciples. Others didn't believe him. They did. Why? He revealed himself to them. It's just so. He chose them. And he showed himself to them. Read with me now verses 1 through 4 again. Verse 3, it says, he showed himself alive after his passion, after the cross, by many infallible proofs seen of them 40 days. Speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He was on this earth for 33 years. And nobody knew him. God was manifest in the flesh. Even his enemies said, nobody can do what you do except God be with you. Yeah. But nobody really knew him except those he chose and revealed himself to. Okay? This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Well, God's unseen. No man's seen him at any time. The only begotten Son had declared him. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom God has sent. This is life eternal. This is what it means to live, to know him. What does that mean? Know about him? No. Adam knew his wife Eve, and the two became one. One in heart, one in mind, one in soul, one in spirit. They became one. They were one. Everything, they knew each other. They were intimately, they had a relationship. They were intimate, husband and wife. This is what it means to know Christ. He makes himself known to you. Through his word. And he reveals himself to you. The song says, you ask me how I know he lives? He lives in my heart. The world says, that's ridiculous. I don't believe that. No, you don't. Till you're born again. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? I don't understand. No, and you won't. Until you're born again. Until Christ comes to you through this gospel in power. You receive it not in word only, but in power. Demonstration of the Spirit and power, preaching. This is what God uses. It's in the Spirit and power. What's that Spirit do? He takes the things of Jesus Christ and shows them to you. So your eyes are open. Your ears are open. Your heart is open. I know him. You believe him. You walk with him. You talk to him.
to talk to you? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. How? Right here. Is that right?
Go through trials. How do you get through them? He said, I'm with you. You can't. Only a person can bring you through fiery trials. You know that? A real, living, loving Lord. See, that's the theme of all of it. A living Lord. When Paul preached everywhere, Paul preached everywhere. And every time he preached throughout the book of Acts, he talked about the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ. This proves who he is. Proves who he is. When Paul preached the gospel in Romans chapter 1, he said this. He said, I'm called to be an apostle separated under the gospel of God, sold out to the gospel of God that he promised afore by his prophet in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son. This is the gospel. Concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, a man, but declared to be the Son of God with power. What kind of power? All power, Christ says, given unto me. That's the last thing Christ said when before he was taken up. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I'm going to shout that just as loud as I can shout it. Oh, the world needs to hear this. They're not. We are. That ought to give us such peace, such comfort, such hope, such rest. This is going to make us know the certainty of these things. Why? He lives. He says he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Like old Daniel, find no fault in him. No man is without sin. There's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Christ did. Jesus of Nazareth did. And he was a just man. Perfect. Nobody could find. Who is he then? It's God. And it goes on to say, he's declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. This proves who he is. I don't believe Muhammad is God's prophet. Why? He's dead. You find his bones. Go over there and dig him up. I don't believe Buddha, that fat man. I don't believe him. Oh, no. Let people sit cross-legged and worship him. He's not God. He's dead. You find his bones somewhere. Confucius, Mahatma Gandhi, name one. Krishna, he's made up. Cow God or Krishna, all these Hindu gods. Don't believe any of them. I do believe Jesus Christ. Because you can look all you want to and you're not going to find his bones. He came out. Because he's God. It's like the high priest of old. John, I think you brought it up. All through the Old Testament is the story of a high priest going into worshiping God one way. The God of the Bible worship one way. Okay? A high priest, a blood sacrifice, and a mercy seat. Okay? And a high priest went into the Holy of Holies, not without blood, because that's what the God of the Bible says he demands. Without shedding blood. No mercy. Alright, the high priest would go in with the blood of a lamb, a spotless, without blemish lamb, firstborn. And go in, you know what this means. You ever get tired of hearing it? You go into that Holy of Holies within the veil, under the veil, you know, within the veil, with that precious blood of that lamb, hoping that God would accept that on behalf of these sinful, rebellious people. And go in and pour that blood on that mercy seat. And if God accepts it, then the high priest would come out. He'd come out of the veil. And he'd come out of the door of the temple with a big smile on his face. And everybody would let out a shout, accept it. See, that's Christ who was crucified, the lamb slain, his blood shed, buried. Where'd he go? Within the veil. Into the Holy of Holies. Not without blood, but with his own precious blood. Why? What did he do? Obtain eternal redemption for us. And he took that blood and poured it over the mercy seat in heaven and glory to him and the Father. And Scripture says God ripped the veil in two. How do we know we're accepted? How do we know God accepted that sacrifice Christ made? How do we know? He came out of the tomb with a smile on his face. Who did he appear to first? Mary Magdalene, the chief of sinners, who had seven devils. Smile, Mary. Smile, Mary. God loves you. How do you know? The blood. Do you believe the blood? Do you believe Christ? Is he your only hope? All your hope of salvation, Jesus Christ. Smile, Mary. That's a good news. It all depends on him living. And he lives and he reigns and rules. In verse 3, I love this, says he showed himself alive after his passion, after being crucified, by many infallible proofs. Has he shown himself to you alive by many infallible proof? Has he? What kind of proof? The heavens declare his glory. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night after night utters knowledge. What? Christ is. The trees clap their hands. The birds sing about him. Everything. The grass you walk on, the trees, the sky, it all speaks of him. And the greatest thing of all, God has put in the tabernacle of the sky, a sun. Every day. Can you go a day without thinking of the Son of righteousness? The Son of God. Patrick, the world doesn't think about him at all. They don't even believe there is a God. And they sure don't believe Jesus Christ reigns over all them. We do. Don't we? Why? You must be a Theophilus, friend of God. You must be an Enoch. You walk with God. A Noah. A Mo. You walk with God. You talk with God, don't you? He's shown himself by many infallible proof. Creation, the greatest. And providence? Well, not providence. God's providence in your life. You see his hand in your life. Oh, my. We've all got a story, don't we? We spend our lives as a tale is told. And my story, looking back on my life, I see God. I don't see it all, but I see how God spared me so many times. Amazing. It's amazing. And there's no other answer for it, is there, Teresa? God did that. How did I get through that? I've told you before, most of my childhood friends are dead. Died horrible deaths. That's a fact. Here I am. Why? Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. Many infallible proof providence. Oh, the greatest proof of all is salvation. You're looking at a blind man, a man who was once blind, now I see. A man who was once deaf, and now I hear. A man who could not walk by faith, would not come. Here I came. You're looking at somebody who was dead and trespassing and sin and loving it. But God. Is that you? You're an infallible proof. You're an infallible proof if you've been born again. Amazing. And did it for 40 days. He says he's with them 40 days. 40 throughout the scriptures is used a great deal. You know that? It's symbolic. It's significant. And, you know, Moses was 40 years old when he saw the burning bush. And the children of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses was up on the mountain receiving the law for 40 days. It rained on the earth, Noah's time, 40 days, 49. Our Lord was tempted by Satan for 40 days. Okay? And most of God's people go through this world and live about 40 years in the faith. Right? That's just it. We live, we're 70, maybe 80, and God reveals Himself. And most of us, He reveals Himself, and we walk by faith for 40 years in this wilderness. Now, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. Many walked no more with Him. Many went back and walked. They didn't last 4 days. John, Earlene, Nancy, Ed, Jeanette. They're all in their 80s. Well, Earlene, close enough. How long have you been walking with the Lord? 40 years. It's amazing. That takes the power of God. That takes the Holy Spirit of God. That means there's a real person guiding you. Margaret, Deborah, been here a long time. Now, on and on it goes. Betty, on and on. A miracle. 40 days. Speaking of them, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's all we do here. That's what the Lord did the whole time He was with them. And they never got tired of it. An unseen kingdom. An unseen king. See, the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are unseen are eternal. What do you want to hear about this morning? What does everybody want to hear about this morning? What did you come to hear about? Things unseen. Eternal thing. Really? Again? You want to hear it again? Yes. Like the people at Pentecost, you know, after they heard Christ crucified, risen, enthroned, and they all got together and they told the disciples, would you come back again next week? Preach the same thing. And He said, verse 4, they were assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But wait. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father that you heard of me. I promised you. Go there and wait. What'd they do? Where'd they go? They went to Jerusalem and wait. Boy, Thomas was there. He's not going to miss it now. Thomas was there, mentioned Him by name. He's not going to miss another gathering. What's our Lord tell us to do? Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What day? He's coming. I fully expect the Lord to come when we're all meeting together. That's what He said. That's what the angel said. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go. What were they doing? Worshiping Him. Looking for Him. That's what we're doing, isn't it, sister? This is the new Jerusalem. Not the United States of America. The church is new Jerusalem. Come down from heaven where we meet. He says, go. Be there. Stay together now. And I'll come be with you. And you'll behold my glory. And you'll worship me. And they did. In verse 5, John baptized with water, Christ said. You'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Verse 8, you'll receive power. That's what we talked about. First Thessalonians, this is what Paul wrote to the church there. He said, I know you're elect. I know you're elect. Paul, can you see the names in the book? No. I can't. But this is how you know. If your name's in the book. All right? Our gospel came unto you. Not this other gospel. There's another gospel of a poor Jesus who can't, he's not Lord at all. You got to make Him Lord. Do you understand that that's not the gospel?
Do you understand that anybody believes that if you have to let Jesus into your heart, that's another gospel? Do you understand that? Do you? Do you really believe that? Don't call his name Jesus if he didn't save. If he can't save you unless you let him, he didn't save you, did he? But now if he saved you and came and just told you, I saved you. Like Isaiah 43, John. I've saved. He shall save. Who? His people. Can't stress that loud enough. Our gospel came unto you. Not in word only. Not some little silly dissertation, reading of a paper, or doctrine only, but in power. What's the power of God? The gospel's the power of God. Voice of the Lord comes in power. What does it do? Blind see. Deaf hear. The lame walk. About that. The dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached. Religious people renounce their religion. Boy, that takes the power of God, doesn't it? A man who's been a Methodist or a Catholic for years, a staunch Catholic, and the gospel comes, and they renounce it all. Like Abraham. It's all Paul, Saul of Tarsus. What's it going to take to save that old religious, self-righteous boy? Power. Whose power? Christ's power. And all he's got to do is speak the word. Doesn't it? Repent. Boy, you will. Come. You will. Believe. And you will. And nobody will make you believe otherwise. It's the power of God. Power of God. Came unto you in power, not in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. Much assurance. Assurance about what? This is what Luke said, that you'll know the certainty of these things. Things most surely believed among us. What things, Luke? When John Newton was dying, he died in his 80s. Oh, don't you love John Newton? He wrote Amazing Grace. That's all most people know about John Newton. And boy, you ought to read his preaching. Whew. He came to his deathbed and he said, two things I'm sure of. One is that I'm a sinner and nothing at all. And secondly is Jesus Christ is my all and in all. He said, I'm a great sinner and Jesus Christ is my great Savior. Oh, that's eternal life. That's a miracle. A man on his deathbed, all he's got to say is, I'm a sinner and Christ is my Savior. That's enough to get you into glory. Whew. Comes in a much assurance. You see, what we're sure of is Him. Much assurance. And he went on to say, you became followers of us and of the Lord, and you suffered affliction and your examples, and from you sounded out this gospel, and you turned from your idols to serve the living and the true God. Now that takes the power of God. So, that's the Holy Ghost in power. And it says, I kept emphasizing this, verse 9, are you with me? Verse 9 says, while he spoke these things, they beheld he was taken up. Taken up. Verse 2 says he was taken up. And these two men said in verse 11, he said, this same Jesus is taken up. And the disciples down in verse 22 said he was taken up. You read that with me? He's taken up. Taken up. Who took him up? God. When Christ came to this earth as a babe, he didn't go to Jerusalem. He went to Bethlehem in a manger. And hovered around him were just some poor people, shepherds.
Wise men, yeah, from the east, they had come a long way to see this sight, led by a star. And then before that says, a multitude of heavenly hosts shouted out. Who heard it? I mean, the heavenly host shouted out that Christ had been born. Who heard it? Three wise men. Shepherds. Nobody else heard it. And in this stall, here's what I'm trying to bring out. And in this stall, in this manger where sheep feed, was the manna. What is it, manna? This holy thing. It's the Son of God. A baby? Yeah. God manifested the baby. And in all he did, all his life, all he said and all he did, if all he did and said was written, then the world could contain the books he'd written. Glory, power. And then when he was received up, heavenly host took him down. He sat down at the right hand of the man. So he was taken up. And you know what? What everybody's doing in glory? They're taken up with him. And that's how you know who he revealed himself. Here, we are taken up with him. Is that a play on word? Taken up. Who are you taken up with? You'd be taken up then with him to meet him in the sky. And it says, you men of Galilee, wait. Go back. Do what he said. Go to Jerusalem. So they did. They returned. They came into that upper room. You remember that? The upper room, anybody? They were all together. Verse 14. What were they doing? They were with one accord. One heart, one mind, worshiping the Lord in prayer, calling on the Lord, supplication with the women. With the women. What kind of women? Former forlorn women. That's all the Lord's bride. And Mary, the virgin, and his brethren. They were all taken up with him. Oh my. That's the best I can do. All right, John.